A lot of you have been asking about what haunted house I grew up in, what my experiences were, and why Pamela is such a persistent and I would say annoying skeptic when it comes to the paranormal. So we decided to do another episode in between this very long season we're writing. It's been very tedious, and we want to bring the best results to you guys and the victim's family since we're working very closely with them. So yeah, let's talk about who I am as a paranormal believer, who Pamela is as a skeptic, so you guys can get to know us a little bit better. Well, it needs no introduction, but without further ado, hey guys, welcome back to a brand new episode of the Haunted Detective Podcast. I'm your favorite host, Kelsey Childs, but everyone calls me the paranormal Sherlock Holmes. And with me is my bestie for the resty, my favorite skeptic, and the most unbelievable co-host you'll ever meet.
The Miss Pamela J.
And we are both exhausted today.
A little so sleepy.
Get ready for a little eepy. We're eepy, neepy, deepy. We're in need of the eeps. So this is probably going to be a kind of unhinged episode. Because
just a tad.
Pamela and I, we feed off of each other. We could literally make a podcast out of our phone calls.
Oh, absolutely. It would be fucking unhinged phone calls.
I don't know if we're even opening a case file today, but I'll say it anyways. Let's open the case file on our personal paranormal experiences.
Let's do it.
From a young age, I was able to see ghosts. And before you say anything, Pamela, let me explain.
Okay.
When I was really young, I used to go running into my parents' room crying, telling them, "Mommy, Daddy, the shadow people are dancing on the walls again." And I don't know about you, but if that were my kid, I would be like, "Okay, sweetie, we're going to sleep outside with the shadow people in the trash can while we wait for CPS to come and take you away. Okay, we're not doing this horror movie shit." But
for fuck's sake, not CPS.
Child Protective Services. Protective from who? Protecting you from the ghosts. But I actually do remember seeing shadow people hand in hand, kind of like those paper cutouts moving across my wall. And I also would hear voices coming from my noisemaker, and I later found out that white noise can act as a conduit for spirits to speak through.
Is that like a shadow box type? No?
It's different. Spirit box.
Oh, that's what it is.
Spirit boxes, yeah, they use radio frequencies to basically scan radio stations, FM and AM, at an incredible rate. And the theory is that spirits can pull from that frequency and use it to talk through isolated words from radio stations.
Oh, interesting.
So it's like you'll hear, and some ghost hunters we will not name that are very famous will be like, "Oh my God, he died by getting shot in the head." And all I heard was, But the correct way to use it is if it strings together a full sentence, then you know you're good.
Oh, not like a single word.
Yes. I mean, a single word, if it's answering you, like, "What is your name?" And it says, "Megan." And you're like, "Oh, cool, your name's Megan."
Yeah, I get that. Like when it matches the context.
Yes.
Ah, gotcha.
I'll never forget the BuzzFeed Unsolved episode where they were using a spirit box and they're like, "What are you doing here?" And he goes, "Spaghetti." Marinara.
I'm like, damn, is this Parmesan. An Olive Garden commercial we're hearing?
Probably.
When you're here, your family.
Breadsticks? Cool. Anyways, we are way off track.
Sorry.
So basically, I had all of these experiences growing up, and we put the house under construction. And we all know what happens when you put a home under construction. You dig up the land, you build a new deck, you build extensions onto the house. Pamela, what happens in every horror movie?
You like accidentally uncover like a fucking grave or
no
something. I don't know, like you dig too far and you find something weird.
God, that would have been freaking refreshing, but no, that's not refreshing. That's not refreshing, but it would have been, that's the wrong word. It would have been validating to my experiences.
Oh, so, it would have made sense.
Yes.
Gotcha.
The hauntings got worse and I started having weird dreams. And I always had weird dreams as a kid. One of them, a consistent one I had, was that Raggedy Ann was chasing me through the house with a knife. And I was like,
Annabelle?
I didn't know about Annabelle back then. That's the thing. I was like 5 or 6. I thought you could watch
fucking Raggedy Ann
sex on YouTube. I thought that people making out was sex. Like, I didn't know about Annabelle.
We all went through that phase. What can I say?
They're making out? They're having sex?
She's going to get pregnant.
But yeah. So my dreams started getting weirder, and we had this basement with a toy closet, and that toy closet was always a mess because my family does not know how to throw things out. So everything, arts and crafts, old toys, pots and pans, everything went into that closet.
Mm-hmm.
And I started having dreams that I would go down into the basement, go into the closet, and there would be a door on the wall. And I would open the door and it would lead down under the house into this weird labyrinthy area. And as those dreams started, the hauntings got worse.
Okay.
My mother is the type of person where she doesn't want to believe in ghosts. So she would always chalk it up to hypnagogic hallucinations, a migraine aura. You're seeing things, you're hearing things. They're not really there. She didn't ever really want to believe in it until much, much later on in my life. My dad is the type of person where he's analytical, he's scientific. He is a skeptic that will never, ever, ever believe in ghosts.
Yeah.
And he thought I was crazy. And he later articulated to me that he didn't know what was happening. He knew it wasn't a hallucination thing. He knew it wasn't some crazy, my daughter's insane thing. But it freaked him out because he didn't have an explanation for it.
Yeah, I get that.
So the days move by, things are getting worse. My mom starts waking up to this man standing over her, and she'd wake up and go, ah! And my dad would be like, oh, you're just dreaming. It's fine. Go back to sleep. But it would happen almost every single night.
Oh, my God.
I kept collecting antiques. My dad kept collecting antiques. And there was one point, and my sister to this day, she's also very analytical. She will deny that this ever happened. She walks into my bedroom and just stops, and her face goes white. And she's like, I could have sworn I just saw a woman standing there, like right next to that antique secretary that you have. She was standing there in like a blue dress, and she had like a blue bonnet on. And I was like, oh, cool. And guys,
nice.
Put a pin in that dream where I would go into the basement and find the door. Just put a pin in that. Don't forget that I mentioned that. So by the time the construction is over, I don't remember timelines that well, but the timeline I can tell you when it comes to the construction is that the Fairly Odd Parents movie came out while they were in the thick of building this extra section onto the house.
Okay.
So fast forward a few years, everyone is upstairs. It's like 10 o'clock at night. My dad is in my room talking to me. Both dogs are upstairs. Our cat, I don't think we had cats at this point. And my sister was in her room. My mom was in her room. And I say to my dad, I'm going to go downstairs. I forgot my eraser. And I remember very specifically where it was. Obviously, I can't remember ages or dates, but I can tell you where that eraser was.
I felt that.
It was in the kitchen on the counter. So I walked down the stairs, and I was always very scared of that house. You know, my parents would come home and I'd be sitting in the mudroom because that was the one place you could see all entrances and exits. And I'd be like curled up, like my knees to my chest, because I was hearing footsteps. But we'll get back to that.
Jesus Christ.
So I'm already scared walking downstairs. It's dark. I turn the hallway light on and I turn and I look into the living room and there's just a man sitting there. And he's probably wearing like 19th century farmer's gear and he's just staring at me and I'm just staring at him.
Say farming gear?
Yeah. He was dressed like...
Oh, like overalls?
I don't really remember. He had a hat. It wasn't overalls. It was like a very specific outfit that I could pinpoint at the time. I was like, he looks like a farmer.
Okay.
But it was just something I knew. It wasn't like he's a farmer because of his outfit. It was, oh, I'm looking at a farmer right now.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck this shit, I'm out. Mm-mm. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
No thanks.
I don't know what the fuck just happened, but I don't really care. I'ma get the fuck up out of here.
Fuck this shit, I'm out.
So that was me. And I I ran upstairs because all of the blood just drained out of my body. And I looked at my dad and I said, there is a man downstairs. And the reason my dad wasn't concerned there was an actual person down there is because we had a very advanced alarm system. And they set it every night. So we would have known if someone came in or out because that alarm was set throughout the day.
Yeah.
We had it on all the windows, the garage, like everything. And my dad looks at me and he goes, you were dreaming. And I said, what? Am I dreaming this conversation right now? And he said, no. I was like, then how the fuck was I dreaming that, father?
The fuck you talking about, bitch?
What are you talking about? So after that, I started having dreams about this farmer. And it was super spooky because I kept having dreams about that door in the basement in the closet. And every time I would go down, I was trying to find his hat. And while these dreams were happening, I was also having other dreams where I was the farmer. And I walked off. I got into a fight with my wife and she had like curly kind of chestnut hair. And I went off into the woods drunk and I tripped and I fell and I hit my head and I fell into a body of water and I drowned. And I kept having that dream over and over and over again. And the last time I had
that. So specific.
I know. The last time I had that dream was the time I, and this is like going on 3-4 years now.
Yeah.
I was in elementary school or beginning of middle school when I first saw him, and I saw him several times. And now going into high school, I'm still having dreams about him, but I'm also having other weird dreams about other very specific things. So now I'm just totally freaked out because the last dream and the last time I saw the farmer, I had the same thing. Door in the basement, go under the house. I find his hat this time and I put it on and then I woke up.
Did you ever look into that story?
Well, here's the thing is we went to the town archives because call me Melinda Gordon.
I was about to say, I hope you did.
And we knew that there was like there was a groundskeeper house right down the road. And there used to be like a farm very nearby. But we found out that the farm stretched onto our property.
Oh.
Yes. Actually,
okay, so that checks the farm box.
Yeah, I think we found that out. I don't think we knew that exactly. Like we had a vague knowledge of it, but I grew up in New York, so everything was farm back then, you know?
Yeah.
So it just got very spooky for me. And I had this art teacher who was like a second dad to me. His name is Joe Tomasini. Shout out to that guy. And he believes in ghosts very heavily. And we used to talk about it. And he said to me, hey, I go and see this shaman. He is from Korea. He's very enlightened, very smart. Maybe you should talk to him. And it took a lot of convincing. And my mom was like, okay, fine, I'll go with you. And my dad was not happy about it.
Yeah.
Because at this point, I'm seeing spirits like every day in my house. It was uncanny and unsettling. And mm-hmm. when I say I was hearing footsteps, I'm a traumatized girly. So I have that footstep recognition thing. People who also have like physical assault trauma will know what I'm talking about. For those of you who don't, it's this thing where if I were upstairs and there were five people downstairs and I knew these five people very well, I could tell you whose footsteps belong to who.
Mm-hmm. I can tell who's walking down the hallway.
Yeah, precisely. So when I say they're footsteps, they are footsteps.
Yeah.
So I start going to the shaman. His name is James Kim, and he owns a dry cleaner. And he runs his little shaman thing out of the back of his dry cleaners.
Okay.
So he taught me energy healing and all this stuff. But the first time I ever went to see him, I would like to specify, I did not eat anything. I did not drink anything. There was nothing weird about the air. He brings us into the back room, and he says, you both have ghosts attached to you. And he points to my mom, and he's like, it's your father. And she's like, oh, okay, like, I don't really believe in this, but whatever. So he says...
Yeah, just go along with it.
Yeah, he says, sit down and stare at my face and just take a deep breath and don't get freaked out. And we're like, okay. His face changed into the farmer and then it changed into my grandfather. Like, I am not even shitting you. That happened. And my mom never went back after that.
I mean, can you blame her?
No.
I would have thrown up on the spot if I saw a man's face change into someone that I had been seeing or someone that I knew.
It sounds fake, but it's not.
It definitely does.
I am 100% telling you guys the truth. It happened, and my mom was so freaked out. But another thing that freaked her out was that at this point, me and my sister and all of my mom's friends thought, including Joe Tomasini, thought that my grandmother died in a car accident. I had no idea at this point that she had been murdered.
Yeah.
He pulls her aside and he goes, I know what really happened to your mother. And she's like, what are you talking about? She died in a car accident. And James goes, no, she didn't. You know that's not true. And it's not, I know you want to tell Kelsey, but it's not the time yet. You will know when is the time and you'll have a professional there to help you.
Oh, shit.
Isn't that fucking weird?
Oh, that would irk me. That would irk me really fucking badly.
Yeah. So at this point in my house, I have multiple spirits. And I think what was happening, so how people describe seeing a ghost and being able to have that third eye, whatever you want to call it open. James called it a hallway. Everyone is born with that hallway open. And as you get influenced by society and gaslight yourself out of believing in ghosts, it starts to close and close and close. And for most people, it closes all the way. For some people, it stays open, whether a crack, a whole lot, whatever it is. But if it stays open, you can open it further. So that was his whole thing with me, is like, train yourself to see them better and whatever. And I don't know. So basically, the other going theory is that your energy, when you have that hallway open, is like Velcro and candy to these spirits, and they attach onto you and hitchhike home with you. So at this point, I'm seeing that there's a little boy with red hair, red curly hair, and it comes down over his eyes in the toy closet. There's the farmer.
Ah, fuck no.
I had a dream about the little boy. I know where I picked him up to. I saw him at a movie theater and then I kept seeing him home with me. And
fuck out of here.
It took me a long time to connect the dots, but I had a dream and I had red hair, red curly hair in the dream, and I was little. And there were these two big men. And when I say big, I mean like, you know when men have bald heads and you can see like the extra kind of like fatty area on their neck. It's almost like a second neck on their neck. I don't know how else to explain it. And then there's this woman, and these two men take my dog in my dream, and the woman takes me. And then I woke up and I kept having that dream. I think I had it 3 or 4 times.
Huh.
And so James comes into my home and he's like, I'm going to cleanse it. It's going to be good. You're fine. He's not the type of person that believes in evil spirits or anything demonic. He believes that ghosts are energy and we can dispel the energy, we can embrace the energy, whatever. It was very a very divine way of viewing it.
Yeah.
So I made it a point not to tell him where any of the spirits were hanging out in my house. He walks downstairs, goes into the closet, opens the door, and says, it's okay. You don't have to be afraid. You can move on if you want. I didn't tell him the boy was in there. I didn't even tell him there was a boy in there.
Ewy.
Yeah.
The fuck kind of insidious shit is this?
Fucking precisely, bro. Fucking precisely.
Ooh.
So
I just don't like the kid in the closet thing.
Something that started happening to me around the time the house went under construction is I would do this thing that I called dreaming awake, where I would be fast asleep, but I could see everything around me throughout the entire night. And it still happens to me sometimes. So at one point, I had my dad film me because I was convinced that I slept with my eyes open. And I fell asleep and I watched him film me. And I wake up and I go, see, I sleep with my eyes open. And he showed me the film and my eyes were closed. Obviously, like, no shit. So
what the fuck?
Remember the door in the closet now?
Mm-hmm.
Think Insidious. So when you're accidentally astral projecting or communicating with spirits and you're young, you don't know what you're doing, another going theory is that you can open a portal where multiple spirits can come through and become empowered by this portal.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. This is such a long story, Pamela.
No, I'm very interested. It reminds me of Insidious, the movie.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So another thing started happening to me around the time I started honing what I could do with James is I could touch an object that had a traumatic past attached to it and see that thing happening.
Oh, okay.
Pamela's not going to be friends with me anymore after this. She thinks I'm crazy. Mm.
No, I'm going to take you to antique shops.
Got you, dude.
Make you touch a bunch of shit. Can I bring this home?
Is this haunted? This is haunted. Yes, Pamela, this is haunted. Don't take it home.
This is haunted. I'll take it. Do not bring this one home.
So a lot of things were happening. We're going to fast forward when I'm out of high school. I still am having paranormal experiences, but I kind of shut myself out to it because it freaked my parents out so much that them and a psychiatrist were like, oh, we should put you on meds for it. But no other therapist or psychiatrist or anyone has ever said that to me since. Yeah. But it was very much my dad saying to the psychiatrist, you should put her on meds for seeing ghosts to make sure it's not like a hallucination thing.
Mm, I see.
Which is kind of fucked up.
Yeah, a little bit. I definitely don't agree with just medic, just like outwardly, just, you know, let's just throw meds at it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So fast forward a few years, I'm living by myself. I'm driving down the road in my apartment complex and I see a man standing on the side of the road and he's wearing a sweatsuit. And after this happens, I start seeing him in my apartment. But the weird thing is I had my cat at this point, but You've heard stories about Nyla. I call her the Honorable Judge Nyla or the Orange District Attorney.
I love Nyla.
She doesn't get into things. Like, she doesn't open drawers or cabinets. She doesn't jump onto things. Like, she's very much ground and couch.
She's chill. Mm-hmm.
Ground, couch, bed. Meow a little bit. Eat some food. Fart some, you know.
Yeah. Very. She's chilling.
Yeah. So I had these four drawers attached to my TV stand and they kept opening one night. And so I kept closing them and they kept opening. And eventually I like kicked them closed and I go, stop it. Stop opening the drawers.
Leave me alone.
And I went out like 20 minutes later and they were closed and they never opened again. I also had this photograph, this tintype. It's an antique photograph of this little girl. And it would throw itself off of shelves. So I would have to put it, you know, on a really deep shelf or just put it in a drawer so it stopped shattering and breaking.
Yeah.
Fast forward a year, I move back into my parents' house because I'm getting ready to make a life in California. And I had an apartment set up there. It was just about, you know, waiting the time out. And I got surgery on my sinuses because I had a very deviated septum. Very deviated. Yeah. I had like 1% airflow.
Oh, shit.
So after I recovered, because I was on so many pain meds, I am staying at my parents' house and weird things start happening. There was one time I was texting my friend Finale and we're talking about going to the gym the next day and how we're going to work out and yada, yada, yada. And I hear footsteps coming down the hall. And then suddenly, because the hall light is on, I see just a shadow under my door. And I said, nope. And I threw my blankets over my head. And I said, nope, not today, bitch, not today.
Get out of my house. Thanks.
So that was super ominous. There were times I would wake up and see an old woman with like a black dress on. And she would like rush towards me. And then I would wake up. But the weirdest thing that has happened to date, and this is weird because I can't explain it. There's really no good, solid explanation for it.
Okay.
My routine at night, right? In my parents' house. I was trying to be acclimated to a schedule that was 3 hours earlier because I was a month or two, not even. I was like 2 weeks away from moving to California. So I was always the last one awake. I would stay up until 2 a.m. and then go to sleep. And it helped me acclimate to the Pacific time zone. So
yeah,
my dad had a rule. The last one awake has to turn the lights out so we don't waste money and electricity and power, yada, 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 et cetera, et cetera.
Okay.
So my routine was I would turn all the lights off, turn my phone flashlight on, sprint as fast as I could from the family room into the kitchen, turning the lights off, and then upstairs. And I get to the top of the stairs. I'm like,
I'm like that now. I just fucking hate it. It's so creepy.
I know. Scared out of my fucking mind. What happens next is kind of shocking. So I go into the bathroom. This night is the same as ever. Go into the bathroom. All the lights downstairs are out because I know because I had to use my phone light to navigate through the downstairs without losing my mind from terror. I get some stuff ready. I come out of the bathroom and all the lights downstairs are on. And I was like, oh, fuck no. I need someone to witness this. So I called my friend and I said, hey, dude, it's happening. It's happening again. I need you to witness this for me. And she's like, yeah, sure, whatever. So we're on FaceTime. I go downstairs. I turn the lights off. I sprint upstairs. I go into my bedroom, get something, come out. The lights are on again. But this time, different lights. So I go downstairs, turn the lights off, go upstairs, go into the bathroom, brush my teeth, come out, and different lights are on this time.
What the fuck?
Mind you, these are not, you know, you press it, it's like the flat light switch. These are the actual, like, you have to move it up and down light switch.
Yeah.
With dimmers and whatnot. So after 6 times of this happening and my friend witnessing it, I go downstairs and I go, all right, if you want the fucking lights on, keep the lights on. Just turn them off when you're done. So I go upstairs. I text my dad and I say, I am so sorry that the lights are on. I turned them off 6 times. I don't know what you want me to do at this point.
They're not letting me turn them off. So
I go to sleep. I wake up in the morning. My dad had texted me and said, the lights were off. What are you talking about?
Well, you did say to turn them off when they were done.
Glad they fucking listen, bro. I swear to God.
They understand the energy bill.
I guess they do. But that one wasn't scary. By the end of it, I was just like, God, this is annoying.
Yeah. You're like, can you guys like fucking knock it off? Thanks so much.
And mind you, the stairs in my parents' house are wooden slippery steps. So like, you know, going up and down them, it's a hazard.
Yeah, you gonna break your skull open.
Legitimately. So that's pretty much the thick of it with my parents' house. I've gone back and stayed there and gone live on TikTok. And I had a really, really weird experience with my buddy Scotty, who's a medium. And we did an investigation down in the exercise room, which didn't used to be a part of the house.
Yeah.
We both saw someone sitting on a chair in there, and I sat in that chair. So basically, Scotty is like, yeah, why are there like 57 spirits in your home? And I was like, I don't know, dude. You tell me. That's why I brought you here.
Someone fucked up.
So I fucked up, I guess. I don't know.
Fucked up, bro.
So he's like, can you, like, is there anything that these spirits could be attached to? Like, what's going on? So I go through these paintings that are always leaned up against the wall. I'm sure they're still fucking there at this point. It's been two years. And I put them back and they're leaning, you know, the same way they were.
Yeah.
40 minutes later, the live stream starts glitching. And Pamela, you've done TikTok lives. You've watched TikTok lives. I've done hundreds, if not thousands of lives at this point on TikTok.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Never in my life have I had a live stream without any interruption. So no one called me. No one texted me. My phone was on Do Not Disturb. It started echoing. But it started...
That's really weird.
It started echoing when I heard a voice. I heard something go like, rah, 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 or whatever. And I repeated that. I said, did you hear that? I just heard like a voice. It sounded kind of like... Rah, 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 rah. And then it kept looping that over and over and over again. I heard a voice.
I bet people thought you were fucking with them.
No. And Scotty, his EMF detector starts going haywire. He's in New Jersey. I'm in New York. So shit is getting weird and I'm echoing and echoing and echoing. And my thing when I'm scared, sometimes I just start crying.
Fair. That's a fair reaction.
I started crying. And then Scotty just disconnects and he comes back and then the paintings all fall over. 40 minutes later, dude.
Maybe it's the paintings.
I don't know, but it was weird. In another instance, I went into the toy closet and faced the wall that I kept seeing the door. And I turned on my spirit box. I used a Phasma box on my gaming laptop, which I would say mm-hmm. based on like what I hear from spirits and what I see and what I hear from Phasma box, it's like the most accurate spirit box that's not actually an SM7 or whatever.
Yeah.
Is that what it's called? A spirit box? Yeah. SM. It's something like that.
I think.
Because my mic is also an SM7B, but you guys get the point. So through the spirit box, this like really high-pitched voice comes in and it goes, "Kill your mommy." And then I was like, "What? What? I'm sorry?
I'm sorry. That's so funny.
I know." And then he goes, "Kill your mama." And I was like, "Can we stop?" I was like, "What the fuck?"
What a loser. Really? You chose to scare someone with those words?
"Kill your mama." And it sounded like that. "Kill your mama. Kill your mommy." I was like,
what an idiot.
Pamela, don't insult it, please.
Sorry. You're not stupid. You're just funky.
Funky, wonky, silly willy.
Funky. "Kill your mama."
It was weird, to say the least. Like, it was weird, to say the least. I don't even... I'd
say so. That would freak me out a little bit. And I don't believe in it, but that would definitely kind of irk my soul.
I've never experienced a spirit box say the same, like, sentence.
Yeah.
Over and over again. I was like... And then my friend, Real Ghost Hunter 1, Brandon... Him and his buddy, Ray, Nebraska Paranormal, they have a podcast. You guys should listen to it. But anyways, Brandon really knows his stuff. Ray knows his stuff. Scotty knows his stuff. So Brandon's in this live stream with me. And earlier, I think it was the night before, I was also doing a live stream in the house. And the mudroom closet door opened by itself.
Lovely.
So it was just like weird stuff happening over and over and over again. And the weird stuff around me has never stopped. I've always joked with my friends, if you want to believe in ghosts, just hang out with me for a little bit and you will.
That's why I'm your co-host, because I want to believe in ghosts, but I do not.
Literally. There was one time I had a friend in California and he was like, diehard, ghosts are not real. This is not happening. So I start telling him these stories and there was this cat ball, and I don't know how the fuck this happened. We tried to replicate this several fucking times. It just comes slamming down to the floor.
Okay.
And it bounced, so we tried replicating it, like if it got knocked off of the top of the bookshelf, if it, you know, got kicked. Nothing we did replicated what happened.
Oh. Well, that's weird.
Yeah. So anyways, that's pretty much the thick of it. I mean, there are so many details I've left out, like things that have happened recently, the haunted doll that's literally sitting right next to me. But
should make it into a movie.
Dude, maybe.
That'd be a good movie. It's like a good Insidious inspired almost movie.
I have to say, yeah, probably. But anyways, Pamela, tell me your thoughts. I want to hear everything.
Thoughts on your story?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, obviously, I don't really believe in any of that stuff. I've had my fair share.
Sorry, what?
I've had my fair share of like weird experiences. So, like, I think your brain can play tricks on you. My brain has played tricks on me, and I have stories where I still don't really have explanations to them. So, like, I have theories as to how they could be real or how they could be fake. So. I don't know. I think that you saw what you saw. Whether if it was real or not, I don't know. But I think that you've had enough instances where something's really weird. Something's a little fucky wucky.
Yeah. I mean, it's just one of those things I would have to see it for myself to like really be like, oh, that absolutely happened. That 100% happened. Like, not even trying to be like, well, it didn't happen. Like, I'm sure something scary as shit did multiple times, apparently. I'm really interested about the history of the land.
Well, it's New York. Everything on the East Coast is fucking haunted.
I know, it's true. I mean, I live on the East Coast and it's fucking wild. Everything is haunted. We have a bunch of asylums and fucking haunted hospitals, and it's things that involve traumatic events, it happens. And what I've kind of gathered from your stories is that the things that you would see were traumatic events.
Yeah.
Like the farmer drowning. So it makes me wonder if maybe there was a historic event of a farmer who lived there and you saw his final moments from his point of view, or maybe the kid, you saw his final moments from his point of view. I'm not sure. Or maybe it wasn't final moments for the kid and it was just a traumatic event that scared him. I'm not sure. But I mean, I find it fascinating and I would look into it just to see if I could find a story that was documented that matched it. That would blow my mind if something we could find.
Well, that actually happened to me once where I saw a ghost. I was having experiences with her and I was like, I went into the bathroom and I hear Bobby. The name's Bobby. And I come out and I had said previously, I feel like she had a stroke. My chest is hurting. An entire live stream witnessed this, by the way, like 200 people. And the thing with live streams is that the chats are delayed. So when I say something, if the chat says something at the same time, they usually typically typed it 30 seconds to 15 seconds earlier. So at the same time, I say, there's a ghost next to me. A couple sensitives in my chat go, is there a ghost next to you? I was like, oh shit, God.
Oh man.
So it was a very weird situation. And I was like, Bobby, what is Bobby short for? And someone goes, oh, Roberta. That's what they used to call women named Roberta. So I had a very clear image of her in my head. And there were a couple other people in chat who had a very clear image of her as well. And so I was like, she's confused. She probably died recently. So I looked her up and I looked up Roberta obituary and I knew where she died. I don't know how, I just knew. And I was like, Roberta Avila Beach, obituary or whatever. I don't remember the specific town. And I found her. And she died of a stroke.
Was she older?
Yeah, she was a little bit older. She was like in her 70s.
Huh.
And I was like, what do I do? I'm aware I'm not Melinda Gordon. And I'm aware that I can't very well just contact a family and be like, hey, like this ghost has a message for you. They're going to think I'm crazy and it's going to really traumatize them. So I just kept to myself.
Yeah.
I was like, what do I do in that situation? Because they're not asking for help. It just happened.
That's so weird.
But I got evidence. And then another one where there was pretty instant evidence was I was actually with my dad and there was an art gallery in the historical center of Chappaqua, which is where I grew up. It's the Horace Greeley House. So it's where, obviously, Horace Greeley lived. He was a presidential candidate. He helped found Chappaqua, et cetera, et cetera. So the Horace Greeley House is notoriously haunted. And my dad was like, oh, so like, is this haunted? And I was like, actually not up here, but, you know, downstairs where the fireplace is, there's a ghost that's pretty unhappy that people are displaying their art, like they just want to be left alone. And we walked around the house and I was like, the stairwell has some weird energy. I think there's a ghost here. And as we're walking down, because he was curious, he was actually asking questions. As we walk down, we hear a loud crash and a scream. And we go running down there. And this picture that was hanging up on the wall is in the middle of the floor. Like I would say 4 or 5 feet away from the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, what happened? And this is the room with the fireplace. And the woman whose art it was, she goes, oh my God, that picture was hanging on the wall. And then the next I looked over and it was like flying across the room.
Oh, what the fuck?
Yeah. Everything else on the wall was fine. Nothing else had moved or shifted, just that one hanging.
It's so bizarre.
Don't have an explanation for it, do you?
No, because I wasn't there.
Yep.
That's why it's hard for me to distinguish, because I'm like, well, if I was there, maybe I could have come up with one. But because I'm not, I don't really have anything to go off of.
From what I remember, my dad actually said, yeah, that's weird.
that sounds about right. Yeah, that's weird. Anyway.
Anyway. But yeah, that's pretty much it. I know we've talked about your ghost stories a little bit. You can hear more of hers on Real Hauntings podcast. But Pamela, what is holding you back from believing? Like, you've had experiences. You've seen weird things. What is holding you back? I know you made a joke. You were like, I need a receipt, signed, sealed, delivered to prove to me that it's a ghost. But is that really, is it something so concrete, so scary? Or would you be standing in front of a ghost, staring it right in the eyes and be like, this is fake, I'm hallucinating? Like, what, we've never really talked about this. What level of skeptic are you?
I would say that I would have to be in a very scary situation multiple times. And it would have to, I would have to test my theories and my methodologies, whatever those might be. And like actually go on an investigation with paranormal investigators to just really like be there and see it for myself. That's kind of what's holding me back. I've had experiences where I've been like, oh, that was it's a little fucked up, or like, oh, that really scared me. But I haven't had it at a consecutive, like it hasn't been again and again and again. So I think that if I have just like an overwhelming amount of evidence, maybe I'll believe it. But, and if a ghost was staring directly at me, I genuinely would think that I have lost my fucking mind. Like, I don't even think I would believe that it was a ghost. I would just think like, oh, okay, I'm crazy. All right, cool. I'm gonna go to bed.
What if you and several other people heard or saw the same thing?
Yeah, I mean, and I've had a story where it was like that, where two people saw the same thing as I did, but the other three didn't. So I was like, all right, what the fuck? So I've had that situation, but I would have to be like, I would need to go somewhere. Okay. So the perfect storm is that I would be with an investigation team and we would go to, let's say that we went to an asylum or an abandoned home or something of that sort that's known for paranormal activity, probably a historic landmark. And what I would do is I would purposefully not research into that place. Like, I don't want to know anything. I don't want to know what people normally see. I don't want to know what people have said that they've gotten. I don't want to know a single thing. I want to go in completely blind.
Okay, that's fair.
And piece it together myself. And then I'll ask questions and find out more about the history as the investigation goes on. I would have to just be at such a raw environment. Like, you would have to be, it would have to be so fucking terrifying. And that same thing would have to happen like a few times for me to believe it, I think.
Maybe our first ghost hunt should be Goatman's Bridge, because that place is the first ever, you know, we all experienced something weird and had no explanation for it. We were, me and Liz Cooper, literally Lizzie, we were ghost hunting there and we adopted a little group into our group, mostly because the area is dangerous. There are people there. The KKK is still there. There are still people with guns.
Brilliant.
Who shoot you just for funsies. It's in Denton, Texas. Don't at me, Denton. Allegedly. Allegedly. And we were walking. It was nighttime, pitch black, in the woods on this trail. And we were walking at night in the woods on this trail, and we start hearing footsteps right next to us in the woods, close enough that you should be able to look over with your flashlight and see the person. It got so loud and so consistent that one of the girls, her husband was a skeptic. Both of the guys in the group, they weren't skeptics. They didn't believe in anything, and they had guns, which you're allowed to open carry in Texas. So one of the guys, he's like, okay, this is ridiculous. There's definitely someone there. I'm going to go check it out. So he takes a flashlight. He puts his hand on his hip and he goes into the woods and the footsteps stop. But they stop as soon as he goes into the woods. So obviously this person didn't walk away. because you would hear that based on how loud it was. And he comes back and he's like, there's no one there. What the fuck? And he was freaked out.
Yeah.
You're like, that'd be cool. Yeah.
Well, it's just like, if I am in that instance, like, I'm like, let it all happen. Like, I want to hear all of it. I want to see everything. Like, do not hold back. Like, prove to me in my instance, like, I genuinely want to know if it's real or not. And if not, then, you know, fuck it, so be it.
That's, yeah, I think that's very fair. I will take you on a ghost hunt, baby girl. You want to go ghost hunting, baby girl?
Take me.
Yesterday, just totally out of pocket, Pamela and I were on the phone. I was walking into the gym. I was like, okay, baby girl, I have to go. And she just didn't question it. She was like, okay, bye.
Bye, baby girl.
Baby girl. But
baby girl.
Yeah, that's kind of the lowdown of where we're at. I believe I can see ghosts. Pamela doesn't believe that's possible. And I am on a quest. This is the story quest to prove to her that ghosts are real. So if you guys want to leave a review, send us a message on our Instagram, haunted.detective, and give me and her recommendations on how to convince her. And I know some of you are going to say, bring her to your parents' house. That's not possible right now. Moving on. Pamela, any parting words?
I would love to believe in ghosts, but until then, no.
No, no parting words. Just, I'm a bitch. I suck. I'm terrible.
I'm a bitch. Oh, and also, thank you guys for, like, over 20K. That's actually fucking bonkers.
I know. I forgot to say this, actually. This is the season special we were doing in honor of hitting 20K followers. So, just for you guys to learn a little more about us and whatever. I hope you all enjoyed. Don't forget to say something nice to us. Leave a 5-star review because we're literally amazing.
Literally amazing. You love us.
Anyways, guys, don't forget our episodes come out every Monday at midnight. As soon as that clock strikes 12, get the fuck on your phone. Get the fuck on your computer. I don't care if you're sleeping. Set an alarm. Listen to the podcast. Okay, thank you. Bye.
Love you. Bye.